Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
David Amenheiser is an avid sports fan, and his love for everything sports led him to an award-winning career in sports journalism. And I first met him when he arrived in Nashville as sports editor of the Tennessean, and we struck up a friendship that I'm glad of. He asked me to provide information about Nashville baseball for a series leading up to opening day for the Nashville Sounds new stadium, First Tennessee Park at the time, and now First Horizon Park, and in my opinion, it's a fan-friendly ballpark that may be the best minor league ballpark in the country. But Dave coordinated a spring training trip in 2016, and high school teammate of mine, Bart Leathers, and everyone's Mr. Nashville Baseball, Farrell Owens, both deceased, and I tagged along, and 8 years later, here we are to talk about that great 6 games in 5 days immaculate visitation. Welcome to Skip's Corner, Dave.
Good to see you, Skip. It's good to be here.
Yeah, glad. I'm glad to see you and hear you. So listeners will know more about you. Tell where you're from and what you can say about how you got started in journalism and the many places it has taken you, because I know you've been a lot of spots with that.
I have been. It would take hours and hours to talk about everything, but in a nutshell, I can give you a little bit of background on my career really quickly.
Please do.
So yeah, I was born and raised in Maryland, where I was a big Orioles fan. Started working for newspapers right out of high school. Did get to go back in my college degree a little bit later, but I worked for 2 different newspapers in Maryland. Left there and went to the Carolinas. Left there and went to Connecticut. Left there and went to California. All these newspaper sports editor positions. Then in 2012, I left Southern California and moved to Nashville. I think, you know, you and I met a couple of years after that. And then around 2018, I left Nashville to be the sports editor of USA Today. And then 2020, I left my position at USA Today when I had a lot of health issues in my family. My mom, my dad, and my father-in-law all passed away. So someone had to take care of their estates and everything. So I left the greatest job in the world at USA Today when I left there. Retired here at Bethany Beach, Delaware, where I'm talking to you from today. But about a year ago, a friend of mine who was at USA Today became the editor in Fort Worth, Texas, the Star-Telegram. And he coaxed me to come out of retirement. And I'm now the sports editor in Fort Worth. Been doing it for about a year and a half. Do it pretty much remotely. Edit the stories and direct their coverage from here at the beach. Couldn't have a better gig, quite honestly. I go down to Fort Worth a few times a year. I was there for actually in Fort Worth when and watched Aaron Judge hit his 63rd home run a couple years ago. I was there last year when the Rangers won the World Series. I'm actually headed back to Fort Worth next week for the Rangers season opener against the Cubs. So in a nutshell, that's who I am. I mean, I don't know how long I'll keep doing this. It's the greatest gig in the world right now, being able to live at the beach and, you know, edit stories here in Bethany Beach, Delaware.
You know, one of the great things, well, I'm not sure I can call it a great thing that came out of COVID, was we all learned how to work remotely. And one of the terrific things, more terrific things, I think, is that we're able to do something like this. And you said that that's how you're doing your work now from where mm-hmm. you are in Fort Worth. Has yep. it changed how you report any at all? Has that made any difference?
I mean, the media world just keeps evolving so quickly. I mean, who thought we'd be doing a podcast today when we first met, right? I mean, who knew what a podcast was when we first met several years ago? But yeah, I mean, my writers are definitely writing differently than they did years ago. I mean, like, they don't write game stories, so to speak, anymore. It's more analysis. It's more, you know, how quickly can you get it up before the other guys can, et cetera, et cetera. It's a sweet gig. I'm enjoying myself.
But over the years, as many responsibilities as you have had as a sports editor, you must have been a mentor for a lot of people. How many people have worked under you over the years,
would you say? I'm sure I have hundreds, more than 500, I'm sure, different sports writers and you know, interns and copy editors. And just, I wish I had a count of all of them, quite honestly, because I'd go back and thank each of them.
When you were in California, though, didn't you have some like 40 some odd, you told me once?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a sign of what happened, what has happened in our business, really. When I was in Southern California, I was a sports editor of the Press Enterprise in Riverside. But we had 43 sports writers at the time, and we were the only paper in the country covering three Major League Baseball teams, the Angels, the Padres, and the Dodgers, because we're kind of like right in the middle, you know, kind of a triangle, et cetera, et cetera. But when the economy took a downspin and around 2008, 2009, that sports staff of 43 shrunk. And my editor, the executive editor there, Maria Deverain, actually left Riverside and came to Nashville. And she coaxed me to leave Southern California and join her in Nashville.
Did you enjoy your time in Nashville?
Yeah, I did. It was a great place to raise our kids. I have two small they were teenagers back then. They're young adults now, two children. And my wife worked at the Tennessean for a little while. Then she started working at Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt Medical Center. In fact, you're talking about COVID and stuff like that. She still does. She does web production and stuff like that for Vanderbilt Medical Center. And she does it here at the beach.
Weren't you from Frederick, Maryland? Was that where you were born?
Frederick, Maryland. Yep. That's where I was born, in a little town called Thurmont, Maryland, which is it's where Camp David is, quite honestly, for people on the map. But yeah, my first job was in Frederick, Maryland, and they eventually had a minor league baseball team there, the Frederick Keys.
Keys, right. All right. Now, how many scorecards do you have from your time at Cooperstown of keeping score for that game, that Cooperstown game?
Yeah, I started that in 1983. I went to the Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame inductions in 1983 when Brooks Robinson got inducted. The newspaper I was working at, Frederick, covered the Orioles. So, heck, it was a childhood dream to go to Cooperstown and cover the Orioles. And back then, they used to have an exhibition game every year, the day before the inductions. And I think the Orioles were playing the Cardinals back then, if I remember correctly. And the official score that year didn't show up. I mean, not that it was a big deal, but Mr. Guilfoyle, who was the communications director of the Hall of Fame, he had been the Pittsburgh Pirates PR guy for many, many years back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he asked if anyone wanted to be official scorer that day. So I raised my hand. I was only 21 years old. So I wound up being the official scorer of the Hall of Fame game for a few years. But no, I didn't keep the scorecards. So he had to turn them in because he used them for stats and stuff like that.
So how many years did you do it, though?
I don't remember, honestly. I mean, I would go back up there every year and I would just keep doing it for him and hand the cards in. And then eventually, I mean, they stopped playing the game. I mean, one year they didn't have the game because, can't remember what happened, one of the teams didn't show up because of a plane issue. I think it was the Reds, I believe. Yeah. So I didn't do it that year, even though it was there, et cetera. But I mean, I've been going back and forth to the Hall of Fame since 1983. I've been a Hall of Fame voter since, I don't know, probably the early 90s, or actually the late 90s, because you have to be a member of the Baseball Writers Association for 10 years before you can vote. But I still vote. Actually, one of my most prized collections, I see your memorabilia behind you, is my collection of Hall of Fame press pins. I have like 40-some of them for every year since 1983 when I first went. I actually went back and got the 1982 one, too. But it's kind of cool.
That is very cool. Now, how much longer can you vote, or can you continue to vote as long as you're in the business?
As long as I'm in the business plus 5 years is, I think, what the rule is. When I left the business, I became what's called an honorary member, which I have like a gold card, which actually the best part of it gets me in any baseball game I ever want, ever. I can just show it to them and make sure and sit in the press box, which is kind of cool. But I'm kind of in a pickle there. Actually, I got to reach out to them because I still vote off of my gold card. And I haven't really officially registered. Hey, I'm in the sports center in Texas, so I'm probably got 5 more years after I retire. But I've already told the people at the Star Telegram I'm not going to do it more than next summer. I want to go through the All-Star game this year is in Texas. So I'm going to go down to it and help them cover it. And then probably about a year from now, I'll be done.
I wasn't going to ask this question, but you've kind of piqued my interest here. Is that process still the way to do it, the way to select the Hall of Fame?
I believe so. It's like, it's funny because the writers, the Hall of Fame voting gets a lot of attention. It's like, we got to take it away from the writers, which is interesting to me. And the aspect that what's the writers' award? We're the ones who started it.
Right.
So maybe if you want to go do your own Hall of Fame, go do it. But to take it away from the writers and say, hey, you can't do it anymore, it's just kind of weird. It's like, It's like saying you're not going to have the Academy Awards anymore and someone else is going to start something else. Right. Okay. But so it's a weird situation, I think, because there are fewer media members all the time. I agree that some of the newer guys who are covering, you know, sport, covering Major League Baseball, don't know some of the older guys, you know, as well as I do, the history, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what the happy medium really is. I mean, there are far fewer voters today than there were 10 years ago because of the attrition of what's happened in our media business.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned All-Star Game too. You took me to the Cincinnati All-Star Game. And you also took me to Wrigley Field. I was just kind of riding shotgun, I think, is what you needed. Somebody just to ride with you. And you took me to Chicago for the World Series there. You didn't give me a ticket. That was okay. I was on my own for that. But I enjoyed the ride because you and I always enjoy our conversations, at least I do. And it's always fun to be around you and around that atmosphere. And for me to walk around Wrigley Field for two games, just to be walking around, and you talk about atmosphere, Wrigley's a special place, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really a fun day. It's really windy and cold. I don't know if you remember that.
Right. Yeah.
It was, obviously, it's October in Chicago. What do you expect, right?
Right.
But yeah, that was a great time. I think I was there for the first two games.
That's right.
Of that World Series. Was that 14?
Yeah.
What year was that?
It was the year the Cubs won it.
Yeah. But again, I'm having a total brain cramp on what year it was.
Ask me about the Yankees 27 World Series championships. I know more about that.
Yeah. Your Yankees.
I know. And then Cincinnati, too, for that Reds All-Star game. And that was quite an atmospheric time, too. That was really good.
I enjoy the All-Star games. I've been to quite a few of them. I really, really do enjoy them. That's one of the reasons I'm sticking around in Arlington for another year.
Good for you. The best time for me, really, one of the a bucket list time for me was when you took me and Farrell and Bart to spring training. And I won't say that, I mean, we paid our way. It wasn't like that. But you did everything. You came up with the idea for that trip to Florida for spring training. Now, you had been there before, right? I mean, you knew how to do the...
Oh, yeah. I'd been going to spring training for many years, back to my very infancy of sports journalism when the Orioles were training in St. Petersburg, you know, back in the 80s. So I had been going for a long, long time. But yeah, it was a great time. Actually, I pulled out the book that I put together afterwards earlier today just to refresh my memories on some of it. And honestly, it's hard to believe that, you know, Bart and Farrell aren't with us anymore. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah. 8 years ago, we visited 6 ballparks in 5 days. Mm-hmm. I never knew we could do that. And if I remember correctly, we jumped off the plane in Tampa. We headed right to Detroit's Joker Marchant Stadium in Lakeland for our very first game. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Had you ever been there before?
That ballpark, I had never been there before, no.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun part of it. I had been to two spring training games in one day a few years before. I was working for New Era, and we were working a college bookstore show in Orlando. And we got tickets to see a game against, Houston and the Indians in Kissimmee. And while we were sitting at the game, it was an afternoon game, one of the guys from New Era said, I can't go to the game tonight between Atlanta and Detroit. Detroit won the World Series the year before. So I got to go to two games in one day. But this was 6 games in 5 days. And going to Lakeland was a real treat for me because it was something that you knew how to navigate through all that, the traffic and everything else. And then next was Dunedin and the Toronto Blue Jays camp. I thought the people there were pretty nice.
Yeah, I think so too. I didn't like that ballpark that much. And honestly, as well as the other 4 or 5 that we went to. But those people were very nice.
I think of a lot of metal there. For some reason, I think of a battleship.
It was really hot that day, I think, too. It was there wasn't a whole lot of cover, if I remember. The sun was shining the wrong way or something. But it was a warm day.
That's right. And being a Canadian ball team, the fans were Canadian. I mean, our percentage of them was. But they were all nice. It was terrific. We had a great time. And then I'm not sure, the book that you sent had the next part of the pictures as we going to Clearwater Beach. Was that when we went after?
Yeah, because Dunedin isn't far from Clearwater. So we went over to dinner that night in Clearwater, Clearwater Beach, and hung out there a little while. Yeah,
I remember it wasn't cloudy. It was foggy or something that day. It was on the beach, but that was a beautiful beach. And then there's that picture that for some reason, that Rockaway Grill. You wanted to go to that Rockaway Grill.
I have no idea why anymore.
I don't either.
So, you probably had fond memories for me years in the past, and I just remember.
Yeah, they have. And then my favorite, you know what that was?
when we crappy stadium in Tampa.
When we went to George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa to see the Yankees, yeah. I'm not sure we saw anybody that was going to be a star. But outside the park, if anybody has never been, they have that player's name and numbers commemorative little park outside. That was special to me. I actually went in that concession place and bought a commemorative ring that's not worth anything, but it's a huge ring. For some reason, I just wanted to commemorate the day.
There's a picture of it in the book. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. What have you got against the Yankees? Well, I know why you have something against the Yankees, because you're an Orioles fan. But also, today we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day. We were in Bradenton 8 years ago today, also on St. Patrick's Day for the Pirates game, but I don't remember who they played against, and I didn't see in the book.
Well, I actually like that old stadium a lot.
Yeah, you know? I like that too, in Bradenton.
Yeah.
Because it was easy to sit there and think about it being, you know, some of the old players there.
Right. I think it looks nice from our standpoint. I still remember, like, a couple days later when Farrell and I and Bart were talking to Buck Showalter, because I think you were out roaming around somewhere or something. But we were talking to Buck before an Orioles game in Sarasota a couple days later. He was asking us which ballpark we liked the best. We were telling him Pittsburgh, and he basically said it was a crap hole. So evidently the facilities underneath aren't very good back then. I mean, they may have improved since then, but it was kind of funny that he thought that we liked that one the best.
I remember where I was. I said, you guys couldn't holler at me. I was standing back under the grandstand trying to fix my sunglasses because they broke, and I was too cheap to go buy some new ones.
That's funny.
So anyway, you guys had your picture made with Buck Showalter.
Yeah.
We saw that game in Sarasota between Minnesota and Baltimore.
Right.
Caleb Joseph from Lipscomb was catching. And I know Farrell knew him, and we got to say hello to him. And we also got to see Good Pasture Christian Academy graduate Logan Darnell pitch from Minnesota. And there's a great story of Farrell. Do you remember that story with Farrell and Buck Showalter, what Farrell did for him?
Yeah, I still don't know if I believe that story, but yeah. Farrell claims that he got Buck and Buck's wife together back in Nashville back in the day.
A lot of people wouldn't remember the Soundettes, but that was a female group of usherettes, I guess. They called them the Soundettes, and supposedly his wife was one of them, and Farrell introduced them. Farrell was good at things like that, wasn't he?
Well, Farrell told us that the Buck was so shy, which is hard to believe, too,
yep,
that he wouldn't go up to her and talk to her or whatever. So he introduced them, and the rest is history. So yeah, he takes credit for that.
I guess so. How far back does your love for the Orioles go? You said you grew up in Fredericksburg. Were you an Orioles fan when you were growing up?
Yeah, Orioles fan. Actually, I was an Orioles fan. My grandmother used to be a Senators fan. We used to sit in her front porch listening to Washington Senators baseball games when I was a little kid. But yeah, I mean, the Orioles were, I mean, they were just so good when I was a little kid. You know, in 69, I was 7 years old. Unfortunately, they lost to that other New York team that year. And then 70 and 71, they beat Cincinnati and then lost to Pittsburgh. But you know, it was a dream come true. I became a sports journalist in the early 80s, and who would have thunk it that, you know, I covered the 83 World Series when I was like 21 years old. And, you know, I thought, hey, it's going to be great every year. The Orioles are going to be awesome. This is going to be a great job. And they haven't been back since, although they might get back this year.
I do remember that. Of course, I remember the human vacuum cleaner in one of those World Series games, Brooks Robinson.
Right.
Was that also the year that they had four pitchers?
Actually, yeah, Brooks got that nickname in the 70 World Series against the Reds, but the following years when they had four pitchers with 20 or more wins.
Yeah. I think I can name them.
You try, Mr. Yankee.
Well, McNally.
Yes.
Right. Cuellar.
Yeah.
Jim Palmer.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll have to remind me the other one.
It was Pat Dobson.
Pat Dobson.
Yeah. And they've all passed away except for Jim Palmer.
Yeah.
Palmer still does Orioles games on the TV at the age of 80. It's kind of, he's still very, very articulate.
I got to go to Orioles, the Memorial Stadium, one time. I was on the road by myself. It was a weekend. And I remember pulling in the parking lot, going to get a hot dog and a cold beer and sitting up way up high down the third baseline. It was Reggie Jackson's first game as an Oriole. And I think Holtzman was going to pitch the next day. I can't remember. It may have been the other way around. I may have seen Holtzman, but I don't have the scorecard. I don't know why I wouldn't have saved that.
In 76, in May of 76.
Yeah, I was green as a gourd. I didn't know what I was doing. I just paid my money and went in.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, Reggie held out for a long time, didn't sign until didn't agree to join the team till like early May that year.
That's probably about right. But he was there. Yeah. He may not have been. It may have seen Holtzman pitch and he came the next day. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My memory these days. So on that, back to our trip, our final visit was to Clearwater. And I like that ballpark where the Phillies.
Yeah, that is a really nice ballpark.
I thought that was pretty good. And as I remember, after the game, we hightailed it back to the airport and got on the plane.
Yeah.
So that allowed us to get those games in. I think that's how that went.
The following year, when we went to Arizona, that's a whole different podcast.
Well, that's another one in 2017 that we're going to talk about. Bart did not go on that one, but Farrell did. We had a good time. And once again, you planned it all out. We didn't have to do anything but ride. That was about it. And buy popcorn. That was all. That 2016 trip was a special time for me. It was great to be with you, and it was great certainly to be with Farrell and Bart. Certain things that you just can't bring back, but you can certainly bring back the memory. And you published that, had that book published for us with all those images in it. I consider that a treasure. So
one thing I noticed I didn't include was the picture of Bart and Farrell lying at the pool. I probably would have had to throw the book away after it got published.
You were our chauffeur. You scouted our food stops. And you made the hotel reservations. And when can I count on you to do that again? That's my next question.
As soon as I retire. I'm going back. That's for sure. Probably either next year or the following year.
Oh, count me in if you can. If you have an extra spot, I'd love to go.
No, it'd be great to go.
Now tell where you are again and where your family is and your children.
Yeah, we're here in Bethany Beach, Delaware. It's where we've built our retirement home. My daughter still lives in Lebanon, and my son is getting his PhD at Ole Miss. So we're a little spread out right now.
And don't leave out your granddaughter.
Actually, I have one granddaughter, and I actually have a second granddaughter on the way.
Awesome.
She's my daughter is due in August. So I will be back in Nashville in May before we go off to Seattle, and then we're going to come back in August for a month or two to help her with the birth of the second granddaughter.
Congratulations. I know you're proud of that grandchild and the other one too. That's just great. You got a great family, and my best tomorrow. But I got to ask you this last question.
No problem. So,
when you left Nashville, you went to work as sports editor of USA Today. Did you enjoy that position?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but it came at such a weird time in my life. Because, like I said before, all my family members were getting ill, and I took the job and was living in Virginia, and my wife and my daughter, who was a senior in high school at the time at Wilson Central, were back in Nashville. So I was kind of commuting back and forth. I had an apartment, like I said, in Virginia. It was very, very difficult. I mean, the job itself, I loved it. It was just hard. I love my family. It was very difficult, my family. But the job was great, and then COVID hit. I mean, one of the last things I did before at that job was, like, the Olympics were going to be in Tokyo, and I flew over to Tokyo to set up our office space and our hotel arrangements and stuff like that. And I thought I'd be going to Tokyo the following summer, and then COVID hit and the Olympics were canceled, and I walked away from the job regretfully and got out of the business.
And then to end, is Nashville a Major League Baseball city?
You ask me that every time we see each other.
Let's see if your position.
It's definitely a professional sports city. I'll stick with what I said in the very beginning. I hope baseball comes to Nashville and make it great for my visits there. I would love to see Major League Baseball there. I'm just worried about the long time impact of whether the city can keep supporting more professional sports franchises. You know, they do a great job. You know, they have one of the greatest, the highest attendance for AAA baseball. But for Major League Baseball, you're going to have to double or triple that every night. And I just don't know if the city can support it. I've heard the argument about the tourism but the tourism things are always cyclical. You know what I mean? You know, right now, Nashville's still in its a little bit of a high. It's gone down a little bit the past couple of years to where it was a few years ago. But I just don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
The latest I've seen and read, though, what it's still going to be at least 4 years away, I guess.
Right.
This is the latest time frame. I mean, I thought it was going to be 2 years away after they got the latest labor agreement worked out, but now it looks like it's going to be at least 4 years. I was hoping that Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, would at least get it set before he retires. He's going to retire within the next year. But I don't know. I know you think it is.
Yes. But, you know, it's a hopeful yes.
Yeah.
And what you said is fair enough.
I don't know where they get the money for the ballpark, for example. You know, that's I mean, I'm hoping there's a big donor out there somewhere, a big owner out there that wants to put the money in. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
Dave, it's a pleasure. It's good to see you and hear you. And I'm grateful that you spend this time with me. And we're going to talk about 2017 again sometime soon. And then we're going to be together again sometime soon. And I look forward to that.
I'll reach out when we're in town. We can go to a Sounds game.